broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Vermont recently became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage.
Any fair investigation has to be broad enough to encompass not just those interrogators, but
also... pastor, a man of the cloth, doesn't condone assassinating
Others
people.
Others made quite a splash by making comment without reading the book.
Oh, my Lord.
Things are bad.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about. And remember...
Things are bad.
All right. Anyway, welcome back to our program, 877-876-PHIL. And every night here, we try to give you a show that will, give you the goods, okay, without trying to drown you in a wave of political horse manure. We're not trying to promote one philosophy over another. The only philosophy we believe in here is telling you what's really going on as opposed to how they want to pitch it, how they want you to come away from the broadcast or from the reading or the poetry reading or the sermon feeling, how they want to manipulate you so that you may buy more mouthwash or chewing gum or tires or whatever it is ultimately they want you to do. Because that's something else to think about. While you may think that your favorite pundit on television really has a handle on what's happening and you really just love to watch, let's say the guy's name is Harry Smith. Well, there is a Harry Smith, isn't there?
Yeah, he's a bald guy on CBS. He looks like you, except he shaves.
Thank you. He looks like me, except he shaves. Jesus.
Oh, that's ridiculous, man. Well, it does.
All right, thank you. Let's say his name is Joe Blow. How about that?
Yeah.
Great. That's probably your favorite, huh?
I like Blow's show. I'm in Blow Blows.
All right, thank you very much. Nonetheless, the guy comes on there and he's telling you whatever he's telling you, right? He's telling you about how Obama's a douchebag or George Bush is a war criminal or he thinks that Cheney ought to be locked up in a dungeon or he thinks that, Roger Gibbs. Who was the guy that did the movie reviews? Roger Ebert, that's it. Gibbs is the other guy. He wasn't in the Bee Gees. Yeah, it's Robert Gibbs.
No, Barry Gibbs is the White House guy.
That's right. Barry Gibbs is the White House press secretary. Robert Gibbs was in the Bee Gees. So anyway, regardless, that guy, you may think, wants you to embrace a certain political point of view. No, all he wants to do is make sure that you buy Babbo soap or Harry's tires or Harry Smith's tires. Once he's finally fired from the CBS show that he's been on for 900 years, he's going to open up a tire stand. No, they just want to make sure that the advertiser gets a bang for his buck. That's it. Period. Right? Does it matter whether what they're saying is true? No. Does it matter? You think that there's a law that says these guys got to tell you the truth? There isn't. The only laws that cover what these cats say, slander and libel. They can't slander somebody, say something that's untrue. They can't libel someone, write something or publish something that's untrue. So beyond that, you can say anything you want. Oh, you can't cause a public emergency. That's the only other thing you can't do. You can't say there are incoming ICBMs from China and will land momentarily. You can't do that because that causes a public panic, and that's a felony. But the rest is really, you can say anything. You can say anything. You can do anything. You can be anything you want. And they do that to make a living. And that's good, and I don't begrudge anybody making a living. I just want you to know what you're looking at. And a lot of people will say, oh, I know that. No, they don't know that. No, they don't. Anybody that tells you they know that, they don't know it. Okay? So on this program, what we try to do is give you an idea as to what's real and what isn't. For instance, the pastor that says he wants Obama to die from brain cancer, does he really want Obama to die from brain cancer? No, he does not. Does he want more people to show up at his church and give him more donations? Does he want to get on television so that he's paid for some of his appearances eventually, so that his church expands, so that he becomes a spokesperson, so that he makes more and more money and actually has more and more influence and thus has a happier and more substantial life? Yes. Does he really want Obama to die from brain cancer? No. Does Rachel Maddow really believe that a conspiracy has finally been proved to the Bush White House? No, she does not. Does she want her viewers to believe she believes that? Yes, she does. Why? More and more of them will listen to her because they go to her for a certain kind of show, and that means more ad money, more ad dollars, and that means there's more in her purse or whatever she carries, probably a saddlebag. I'm joking.
I a saddlebag is the funniest thing that I ever heard.
I don't know what she carries. Does Oberfuhrer, does Schuster, do any of these people really go home just beating their fists against the wall and saying things like, why won't the people listen to me? I've got so much that can... Of course they don't. All they want to know is, are they listening in any great numbers? And the answer there is, they hope. So they can have themselves a really good time, right? But as far as believing this stuff, the only people that are at risk of believing it are the people that are watching the shows and listening to the radio shows. And if those poor people come away from those programs saying, wow, I really got some information today, we're in big trouble. And as you probably have guessed, more and more of us do, don't we? Geez, I heard Glenn Beck say that we bought Alaska in the 1950s. Is it true? No, it isn't. I heard Glenn Beck say that Obama's a racist. Do you think he believes that? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. How dare you? He doesn't believe that any more, man, than he believes the green cheese is on the moon, or maybe he believes that, but I think Glenn actually does think the moon is made out of green cheese, but Obama racist? Uh-uh. All right, so that's what our show is about. We just point these things out to you so you know exactly which way the bullcrap is spinning. We don't tell you, for instance, the spin stops here. We just tell you that we're covered in the spin, and we're trying to towel off. All right, T-shirts promoting the Smith Cotton High School Band in Sedalia, Missouri. And these are T-shirts that are promoting the Smith Cotton High School Band's fall program have been recalled because of concerns about the shirt's evolution theme. Assistant Superintendent Brad Pullet, or Pollitt, said parents complained to him after the band marched in the Missouri State Fair Parade. Though the shirts don't violate the school's dress code, Pullet noted that the district is required by law to remain neutral on religion. If the shirts had said brass resurrections and had a picture of Jesus on the cross, we would have done the same thing, Pollet said. Designed with the help of band director Jordan Summers and assistant director Brad Kloppenberg, the light gray shirts featuring, probably that's a Jewish name, and so they think that there's a, you know, kind of an influence going on there. The shirts feature light gray shirts, an image of a monkey progressing through various stages of evolution until eventually becoming a human. Each figure holds a brass instrument that also evolves, illustrating the theme Brass Evolutions. Said Sherry Melby, a band parent who teaches in the district. She teaches? What does she teach? I was disappointed with the image on the shirt. I don't think evolution should be associated with our school. But other parents were just as dismayed that the shirts were taken away from students at the Sedalia school. Whatever happened to the separation of church and state? What has this got to do with church, people? Who told you that it is about church? I'll tell you who told you. Reverend Stevenson. After he got done with his pitch on Obama getting brain cancer. Some preacher who's trying to make a dollar has got you people believing that evolution has something to do with religion. It has nothing to do with religion. Evolution has everything to do with science. Why? Because they use the scientific empirical formula to determine the things that are in this theory. Theory, yes. Absolute positive proof, no. Heavy indication, heavy evidence. More and more evidence every day. A preponderance, if you will, of evidence, yes. But it's not religion. Religion is creationism. Why? Because they do not use the scientific empirical formula to come to their conclusions. They start out with the belief, and they do not go about trying to disprove it, which is what you're supposed to do scientifically. You have to disprove the very thing that you believe happened. If, for instance, you believe in evolution, as a scientist, you have to start by trying to disprove evolution. Creationists don't do that because they're not scientists. And creationist scientists are not scientists, even though they call themselves scientists. Maybe they're Christian scientists, but whatever happened to the separation of church and state, said Alina Hoffling, who was furious, blah, blah, blah. After practice Friday afternoon, band members piled the shirts on a table and then urinated on. No, the sophomore band director, Danielle Luke, said the reaction by some of the evolution's theme was a little extreme. It's not like we're saying God is bad. We're not promoting evolution. We just, you know, it's, anyway, the district will have to absorb the $700 cost of the shirts and yada, 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 yada. Just something to tell you, you know, again, if people were allowed to hear these facts, if people were allowed to hear the debate in, I don't know, if it was just presented to people the way Captain Kangaroo used to come out with Dancing Bear, you know, and all those characters, you know, the way that Sesame Street used to roll out, you know, the Cookie Monster and all of those guys, then it would be a lot easier for people to absorb the information and decide for themselves. But it's being pitched at them by way of a very rabid religious establishment, very extreme, yes, but nonetheless rabid and loud and most likely infected with some sort of a disease. I don't want to say what, but I do know they're running sores. I'm kidding.
Boy, we're gonna get in trouble. We'll get in trouble from
people who got syphilis. We're gonna get in trouble from people who got syphilis. Why?
You don't want to be associated with them.
In any event. So that's just another lesson in what we're talking about. Here's a school. We're still banging this stuff around, whether evolution exists or not. Come on, for God's sake. There's a monkey on a shirt, and the idea that the monkey evolved into a bigger monkey, and then the bigger monkey evolved into a bigger monkey, and eventually became a human being, I mean, that's a fact, Jack, man. The science is there, baby. The science is there. We have found, scientists have found, okay, simian-like creatures that are not human, but they're not ape either. Why is this? Well, because we find the fossils of these simian creatures next to dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, tools, clothing, campfires, and then we find another monkey. But the monkey's bigger than the other monkey that we found. And guess what? Through carbon testing, which you see, if you don't want evolution to be something that's taught in the schools, you don't want people to believe it, you have to start attacking every area used by scientists to study this idea of evolution. You don't have to say anything yourself. If you're a creationist, you don't have to come up with proof one. All you got to do is point at the Bible. All you have to say is, it's a theory, and I think it should be taken seriously. Well, what is the scientific process that you engaged in to determine this? Well, you know, they never have any answers for that. What they do is they say, you know, carbon testing sucks, man. They've proved that it's been faulty, and sometimes they make mistakes with it. Yeah, I guess, you know, it depends on who's doing the testing, what kind they're using, whether or not there's a more advanced kind, whether this is more specific than the last one. There's a lot of ways you can attack something. And it's a real cheap way of doing things. And we've seen this time and again. People who have an idea that they don't want someone promoting something will attack not only the individual, not only the idea, but the way that he arrived at his idea without ever having to come up with any proof of their own process, you know. So here we have evolution, and we got creationists, and creationists don't say anything other than, well, the idea of intelligent design, is that the best you can do? That's what they come up with to make it sound like it belongs at the top of some paper at Harvard. Oh, well, Johns Hopkins, the intelligent design. Mm-hmm. Now you got a monkey that's bigger. And what has this bigger monkey got? Well, he's got a spear. And not only has this bigger monkey got a spear, the bigger monkey has something called a fish hook. Well, look at this. He's mastering the art of catching fish. But he's not yet human. Why is that? The cranium is slightly smaller. The bone structure is slightly smaller. There's certain bones that are bigger than others. We recognize this is not quite human, but it's not an ape. How could it possibly be an ape? Apes don't fish. Apes don't make clothes. Apes don't wear shoes. And apes don't make tools. So we have a problem here. We've got apes that made tools and all this stuff. Now, some would say, why couldn't an ape, and then it just died out, right? And then God created man, and then man, you know, all right, so what we had there was this one monkey, and he knew how to make, like, a rocking chair, right? Then the next monkey, and that died? Yeah, that ape died. Then a new ape came. Yeah, then a new ape came, and he knew how to make rocking chairs and snowmobiles, okay? But he croaked, all right? And then another ape came, and he croaked. So the human race is completely divorced from any lineage that would associate himself with these other apes in the minds of creationists. And yet we see clearly, if I dare use the word, an evolution of tool development, an evolution of technology, an evolution of society that suddenly culminates with the human family. But a creationist is going to tell us, but the human family has nothing whatsoever to do with all these other monkeys that had tools and had things that they did. These are all separate species that have nothing to do with each other. And why is that? Because we just don't want to believe that. Because God made man independent of all these apes. And we also see man himself evolving, don't we? We see man going from using mule carts to automobiles. We see man going from using the flint musket to atomic bombs. We see man going from writing cuneiform on clay tablets to the desktop computer. And yet we don't get the idea of evolution. We don't think things change or evolve. Sorry, man. I mean, I don't know who they're pitching this one to this week, but I don't know anybody that's buying except the people there with the school band there in Sedalia, Missouri. All right, coming back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, we need to get into this sick bastard story, this Garrido, and the kidnapping of this child eventually found here after a kidnapping at the age of 11 in 1991. World-famous Phil Hendry show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Now, there is a theory that's being kicked around among anthropologists, archaeologists, those people that study this kind of thing, that that creationists could possibly embrace. And it's a theory that has gained some belief given what they've discovered up to this point. And it is this is the following theory. If you look at the tree of the so-called evolutionary tree that we all know, and we see these little branches, you know, and the Australopithecine people and the this and the that and the Peking man and all that, right? And the human race, the human species, Homo sapien, is up to this point had been considered to be another little branch. But what a lot of scientists are now believing, the human race is a part of the tree trunk, meaning we went straight up the evolutionary ladder, not deviating at all. These other species were deviant and broke away. So there is a something there that may give some solace to creationists in that we represent a singular line of evolution. Nonetheless, we started as a simian primate. In fact, we probably started as rodents, you know?
Yeah, like that movie War Games. The guy said that we was a mouse.
Yeah, I heard that. It's like a rat. What do you mean in War Games the guy said we were a mouse? I'm talking about science here, okay?
You ever see Matthew Broderick?
I'm not interested in Matthew Broderick. Nonetheless, so that's one theory. All right, we'll go to some phone calls here. We have this story on this guy, this unbelievable mutant, this psychopath by the name of Garrido Duguard, the kidnapper. What's this jackass's name? Garrido Duguard or Duguard Garrido or just Garrido Do-Gooder? Philip Garrido. Oh, all right, I got it. The story is so bizarre and gets worse as you read it, and yet it is so predictable. And now the guy has released some writings to the FBI saying, this is why I'm a sick freak. Like, you know, thank you very much, sir. It'll help us catch bastards like you in the future, but you think it's going to make life easier on you. Here is Scott in Nashville. Scott, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind, Scott?
How you doing, Phil?
Good.
Great. I just wanted to call and ask you, you were talking about evolution, how apes evolved, you know, and got older, and they changed and got smarter and everything. And I was just curious, do you think now
they got older and wiser? Yeah, they got their driver's license and they moved on. Right.
Right. Now I'm on board with that. And then, yeah. Do you think that human beings, as we are now, basically is the end of the line? Or you think we're going to continue to evolve?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting thing. Yeah, I think we will. Yeah. I mean, I think we will. I don't know into what, though. I really don't.
Right,
there have been studies. There are some studies seem to indicate that we're, for instance, losing the appendix. You know, the appendix that we've often had to have out when it gets infected. It seems to be a useless part of the human body, and that's getting smaller with succeeding generations, although evolution doesn't happen quite that fast. The wisdom teeth that we at one time needed when we were more of a carnivorous creature, these are going away. Are our heads going to get bigger? I don't know.
We'll never know.
If you visited museums, you've seen the clothing worn by people as recently as, say, 500, 600 years ago. Have you ever seen that clothing? It's very small. The people were much smaller then.
Right.
If you've been to those older homes in Europe, you know, you have to duck your head as you go through the door.
That's science and health.
Nutrition. Exactly. Nutrition. We get bigger. I don't know, man. But if you look at the scope of what we're talking about, man, We're talking millions and millions of years. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. We can't possibly track that in our lifetime or many, many lifetimes. It's a it's 7 million years since the first little primate began to look around and say, Africa ain't bad, but I think I'd like to go somewhere else, and started his progression out of Africa and into the rest of this world of ours. Hey, Scott, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. You know, I'm not going to get into a whole thing on evolution and creationism. I don't want to do that. To me, science is really interesting, and it does not have to live separately from science. It doesn't have to live separately from religion. I mean, now, I was raised Catholic, and I know that in some people's minds that may not be cool, but we were taught very early that evolution was consistent with the Bible. But nonetheless, the journey of man on this planet is amazing, and it does entail periods of time where we did coexist with other primate people, other what is the word that we use, hominid people, that is Homo erectus.
Homo. Homo.
I'm going to belt you, man. I'm talking serious, okay?
Yeah, man, shut up.
And Homo sapien is what we are, and other people or other beings like us who didn't survive. You know, like the Neanderthal people of Europe coexisted with humans for a period of time, but humans were faster, humans were smarter, humans knew how to hunt better, humans developed tools, and humans developed, for instance, ways of hunting from long distance, whereas Neanderthals still went after their game with shorter weapons, smaller spears, daggers. So Neanderthals and much of the fossils of Neanderthals that archaeologists find, there's a great deal of injury, and a lot of it is related to hunting. Literally, Neanderthals would stalk for instance, a wild buffalo and jump on this thing and basically slay it using these daggers and these short spears, whereas humans would attack them from a distance. We developed spears that we learned how to throw, so it was less of a life-threatening event to go hunt for food. We were more effective, and eventually the Neanderthal became extinct. Couldn't compete with humans for the food source. They didn't know how to fish. We developed fish hooks. There is nothing in the finds of Neanderthal sites that indicates any knowledge of fishing, for instance, where you take a bone and you bend it into a hook, and you find fish bones among some of the fossilized remains. You didn't find this with Neanderthals. But there is no question that human beings weren't always human beings. 7 million years ago, when we began moving out of Africa, we weren't yet humans. It didn't mean that we were so stupid we were going to hang around at the same neighborhood. We got interested in, well, I wonder what's over there. Well, you're just a monkey. Well, I can still go over there, can't I? I may be a monkey, but I'm burying my dead. Some of these early primates buried their dead. Some of these early primates, as I mentioned, had rudimentary tools. It's a stretch. And it is not supported by any evidence to believe that humans just all of a sudden appeared in the midst of all of this evolution, all of these different species of primates, all of these different hominid creatures that were in varying stages of technology, tool development, and societal development, and even emerging spiritual belief, and lots and lots of different species doing this. It's childish to think all of a sudden, voila, boom, here comes man. Now I know Eric Von Doniggen and all those people with the, hey, we were planted here from outer space. To me, that's the ego of the human race. I mean, the human race, we think we're so special that we're the spawn of Martians. No, 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 man. We just happened to pop up the same way everything else did on this planet. And we happened to survive because we were, as we've learned in science, as we've learned in life, we were the strongest and the smartest. and we were able to cut through all of the difficulty of life. 7 million years from the time that we emerged in Africa until we finally landed on the very last spot on this earth that we decided to inhabit, 1000 A.D. That is the journey of the human race in different stages of man's evolution, too. And some of those stages survived and others died off until finally there was just the human race. And we went to North America, and we went to South America, and we came out of Africa, and we settled in Europe, and we settled here, there, and everywhere else. It was a long, long journey, and when you think of the time that it took, it's impossible, for us to imagine it. That's why the idea of evolution is very difficult for some people to grasp. It's very difficult for people to think in terms of millions and millions and millions of years, but that's what was going on here. And before that, there was a whole period where there wasn't anything called a human being. They were all lizards that were crawling around, you know?
Yeah, then a big meteor hit.
Yeah, well, they say now a meteor hit, but a couple of other things happened. They think that maybe before the meteor hit, some other crap happened to the dinosaurs, and they croaked out.
You're kidding.
No, that's what they're saying. They're saying that before the meteor hit, there was some other jazz happening, because what they don't find in that layer of carbon where the meteor hit, they don't find any dinosaur bones there. They find dinosaur bones above it a little bit, but they don't find any in that area where the meteor hit and everything was supposed to have died. So now they're thinking there was some other jazz that went on. I don't know what. Maybe one of them farted.
Yeah, it's probably it.
I don't know. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have the stories that we couldn't get to also ahead here on this Monday show, the last day of August. Here is Sean in Sandy Beach, Hawaii. Sean, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
I'm pretty good. Just waiting to go surfing in the morning.
Cool.
Hey, I have a bone to pick with creationists and evolutionists, okay? I look at creation from a scientific standpoint of view, unlike the creationists. And then there's a lot of holes in evolution, the theory. Some of the big holes would be like when they say the whole soup thing went down, you know?
The primordial soup, uh-huh.
Yeah. Problem is there wasn't that much sunlight. And to create living plant life, you need a certain amount. And I have a... Actually,
you
have
don't,
a
no. I got to tell you something. Do you know, first of all, sunlight, what are you talking about, man? You need lightning. You need electricity, and you need and you need water.
But
okay. And that was recreated in a lab, and they created amino acids. Yeah.
And not much happened after they created it, so.
Well, wait a minute. No, yes, it did. Hold on. You're wrong. Yes, they did. They created amino acids, the basic building blocks of life.
I said after.
What do you say? Not much.
After they did it. After the.
Dude. What are you talking about, man? You're thinking that all of a sudden they're supposed to...
Acids.
You're right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Nothing evolved out of that.
Dude, how long do you think it takes to evolve a single-celled creature from the basic amino acids created by lightning and salty water?
A long, long time. I understand
that. Okay. Hello.
The problem with creationists is all these creationists out there, they have some crazy theory that the Bible says that those were 24-hour days. Unfortunately, I have read the Bible, and I know.
Unfortunately, you have, yes.
The translation of those words, day, a day, and there was in the beginning it says, you know,
right.
And then there was a day
right.
And a night. Those words actually translated way, way back don't have nothing to do with a 24-hour day. They have to do with just a beginning and an end of the situation. Because in another part of the Bible it says to God,
yeah.
A day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. He has no time period like we think of time period. So,
but the big thing about evolution is that they didn't evolve anything out of that stuff they made at the University of Chicago. Is that it?
They didn't evolve anything. I'm just saying they didn't. I didn't say they didn't create anything. I'm just saying one of the biggest holes I have.
That ain't a hole. Get out of here. Go surfing. This cat's telling me stuff about, you know, the Bible that says the day, it could be a million years. We know, we got that down already, okay? I mean, that's understood. The biggest part of that, though, and I don't mean to be knocking on Sean, you're a good guy, Sean, but really, seriously, you better go out and get a little baked in the sun today, and maybe you'll come around. The big thing that cat said, Yeah, they were able to recreate the conditions at the beginning of life on this planet that they assumed. This was the theory, okay, that life was created in this primordial soup through a variety of means. One, the fact that the water was salty, and the fact that there was great humidity, and the fact that the Earth at that time had a great many electrical storms going on. So in this lab at this university in the early 1950s, I think it was the University of Chicago, or maybe I'm thinking of the Manhattan Project, maybe I'm getting it confused. Nonetheless, this was created in laboratory. A series of tubes, an environment was created with humidity, with a moist air, with electricity, and they were able, through the period of a few days, to create in this sterile water, salty water, I should say, amino acids that had not been there before. Now, how long is it going to take to evolve even a single cell animal from these amino acids? I don't know. And I dare say that it'd be one hell of a project for whoever Poindexter there at the university to suddenly say, "Why, look at this, I've created an ape in 5 weeks." Fact is, what they were trying to do is say, is it possible, if this is how the Earth was, is it possible that the building blocks of life were created through these conditions? And they proved, didn't theorize, proved, you understand, folks, proved that at least at that level, yes, they could create that. So that was a very profound discovery. And if they'd had the time, maybe they could have evolved some kind of a monkey out of that whole thing, and maybe they did, and maybe he went on to be on the Today Show and star in movies with Ronald Reagan. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we're maybe you think it evolved with a diaper?
Maybe it would evolve with a diaper. I don't know. But nonetheless, there is a little bit of proof for you in terms of the idea of the environment creating life. And we're getting really heavy, and it's really goofy. And okay, thanks. One more phone call, and we'll take a break before our stories we couldn't get to tonight. Here is Zach in Columbus. Zach, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to talk about 2012. I wanted to see what you thought about it, and also give a little bit of what I think about it's going to happen.
What's 2012? You mean the presidential election?
No, 2012 is... Yeah, it's the end of the Mayan calendar. It's when all the planets are going to align in our solar system. A lot of people say that either there's going to be catastrophic war and famine and death.
Right.
And,
yeah. Uh-huh.
But also,
well, if a lot of people say it, I'm betting no, it won't happen. In fact, I'm willing to say to you right now, with absolute certitude, no, it will not happen.
Well, that's kind of what I used to think that. And then now I think what it is it's just going to be like, you know how back in the 1900s when we actually, like you're talking about, evolved, when we actually started getting better technology, I think that's what's going to happen. Because now they're able to, I'm sorry?
Maybe they'll invent the holodeck in 2012. Maybe we'll have warp speed.
Who knows?
You know what I'm saying? Who knows? Well, maybe Klingons will finally contact us. But no, there won't be wars, and there won't be the planets aligning. Yeah, the last time I heard about this planets aligning thing, I was working in Los Angeles about the 1980s, and one of the disc jockeys there took the day off because she was convinced with the planets aligning there'd be catastrophic earthquakes. And
well, yeah,
no, there wasn't. And
Everybody's been trying to sell a doomsday story ever since the 1800s, and then the Christians and the rapture and all that crap.
Dude, they've been trying to sell the doomsday story. They've been trying to pitch that ever since people started walking upright.
Yeah.
Since they had doomsday going when Jesus was walking around. Everybody's doomsday stories are the product of old men. You want to know why they're the product of old men? Because old men die. And why do old men believe in doomsday stories? Because their ego tells them that if they die, the whole world's going to have to die. Nothing can survive them. Doomsday stories... Right. No, I believe that the world is destined to just continue going the way it's going. We are destined, Zach, not to go out with a bang. We're destined to continue and have to work it out and have to learn. No, our future is far more difficult. Our future is we're stuck here, and it's going to be life as usual, and it's going to be just plodding ahead as the human race has done. And these doomsday scenarios are for the doomsday scenarios are for the people who are afraid of life and who cannot see life moving past their own existence. Zach, thanks so much for your call. Doomsday. No, I got news for you. There will be no doomsday. You ready? Okay. If anybody believes there's going to be a doomsday, would you please mail to me all of your assets in check form to the following address: Phil Hendry Show, Talk Radio Network, Medford, Oregon. That's Phil Hendry Show, Talk Radio Network. Because if the world's going to end in 2012, you won't need them. Send them to me, and I guarantee you they'll be put to good use. Oh, I know. The world's going to end, so I won't be able to spend them. You're absolutely right. And won't I look stupid as I stand there on a stack of cash sent to me by all these people as the world goes to hell in a handcart? But won't that be fun for you to see just before we all die? So please send me your assets, cars, banknotes, anything you have if you believe the world is ending in 2012. And I guarantee you I will do my best to look stupid as I sit there in that pile of money as whatever the hell happens, volcanoes erupt and Jesus comes down and takes everybody but me to heaven. 877-876-PHIL.
Are you really serious about Jesus not wanting to take you up?
About Jesus not wanting to what?
Take you up.
Take me up? That sounds almost sort of quasi-sexual.
Oh, God, you'll burn.
I know I'm going to burn, but I'll burn rich. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and remember,
I am gay.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming back is the segment we call Stories We Couldn't Get To. Time now for the stories we couldn't get to here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Police in Michigan say a first date went from bad to worse when a Detroit man skipped out on the restaurant bill, then stole his date's car. Police say 23-year-old Terrence DeJuan McCoy had dinner with a woman April the 24th at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Detroit suburb of Ferndale. The woman says the two met a week earlier at a Detroit casino, and she knew McCoy only as Chris. The woman told police that McCoy said he left his wallet in her car and asked for the keys. He then sped away in the 2000 Chevrolet Impala. The Daily Tribune of Royal Oak reports that police identified McCoy by a photo he'd sent to the woman's cell phone and his phone number. McCoy is charged with unlawfully taking the car, a 5-year felony. He waived a preliminary exam and was bound over for trial on Thursday. A treasured piece of moon rock showcased in a key Amsterdam museum is nothing but petrified wood, according to museum authorities. They said of a gift made to a former Dutch prime minister by a U.S. envoy. The exhibit at this particular museum, which is pronounced something like, you know, it's a Dutch name.
Yeah, it's like Rutgerot, or it's like Van Gogh.
Anyway, originally gifted to Willem Dries in 1969 by then U.S. Ambassador William Middendorf as a souvenir of a path-breaking trip by three U.S. astronauts on July the 20th, 1969. When we received it, we insured it for 100,000 florins. Well, that's actually $50,000 or 50,000 euros in today's money, according to Zandra van Gelder, the editor-in-chief of the Museum Internal Magazine. But she told AFP that it was hardly worth 50 cents, adding that museum authorities had been alerted by space and other experts. This was confirmed by independent studies of the object, which is roughly the size of a matchbox. What is also strange is that in 1969, when William Dries was given this rock, so-called, it was 11 years after he had stepped down as prime minister. The U.S. Space Agency, NASA, gifted pieces of the alleged moon rock to several countries. The museum, one of the world's top museums, is better known for its vast collection of paintings by Rembrandt. What the hell? So the U.S., is NASA giving out petrified wood as moon rock? What is this, man? What are you guys, do you realize we've got a reputation to uphold there in Amsterdam? Anyway, in Denver, a city panel in charge of overseeing marijuana possession crimes in Denver recommended on Wednesday that the fine for possession be set at $1. If Denver's presiding judge accepts the recommendation from the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel, the fine would be the lowest in the entire nation for marijuana possession. The panel was created by Mayor John Hickenlooper in December 2007 after voters passed an ordinance that made it so adult marijuana possession in the cities is the city's lowest law enforcement priority. So in May 2008, the city attorney's office made it so those cited for the crime can mail in their fines instead of having to appear in court. Why not just make it legal? Are you guys, well, you must be high. At the time, the city attorney's office assigned the value at the fine of $50. By setting the fine at just $1, we're sending a message to Denver officials that the era of citing adults for using a less harmful drug than alcohol is over, said panel member and Safer Executive Director Mason Tevert, who's also Dutch, and I don't know, maybe he knows something about that petrified wood. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now. Two Connecticut men are facing assault charges after allegedly battling with a belt buckle and a spatula in Hopeville Pond State Park in Griswold, Connecticut. Police say 29-year-old Cedric Eaton of New London said 31-year-old Nathaniel Ward were charged with assault on Wednesday. Court documents show that Eaton told police he hit Ward with his belt and Ward struck him with the spatula. It's not known what triggered the fight. I know that if I were hit by a spatula, I'd consider that. You see, that's bad. Anyway, I don't know. Eaton treated for a head wound at the William W. Backus Hospital in Northwich. Now, which guy was he? Hit with the buckle?
No, I think he got hit with a spatula.
Okay. Anyway, both men were arraigned Thursday in court as the judge snickered. All right, so that's the collection of stories we couldn't get to tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's a few others, but the one's about a thong-wearing man riding a bike. Big deal. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We should have our video cast up and running coming up tonight. Until then, good night from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.